We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, January 6th. I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2014.
And I am Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2015. Merry New Year. For those of you that are old enough to understand the reference, we apologize. It's been a while since we were here. The holidays happened, and then Rob's laptop had to go to the computer ER. So
we oftentimes on this podcast have Roy's rants. We're going to open this one with a Rob rant. So I go to 12th Man Technologies.
This is why I grabbed myself a full beer before we did this.
Yes. I go to 12th Man Technologies to get this computer looked at because with the new Tahoe update, my laptop became damn near unusable anytime I would pull up Photoshop. So I bring it over to them. They proceed to work on it, tell me they get the issues fixed. I come to pick it up. When I get the notes back, they remove the logic board, aka all of my stuff that was on this laptop was gone. To this point, I'm still missing a lot of fonts. I'm still missing a handful of files. I had to go find a couple of new files that I could reuse to start this video, which I did earlier today. And then just on top of all of that, even when I still pull up Photoshop, it is still running slow. So, 12th Man Technologies, you will not be receiving my business again anytime soon. Sorry about you.
I would like to say for the record, it is nice to not be the tech guy in this operation.
Yes, unfortunately.
Like, I'm telling you, like when it comes to tech, if you need a minesweeper, bro, I got you. But if you need anything outside of maybe Adobe and even that's pushing it, I got nothing, man. I mean, I learned Excel. Well, I mean, I learned how to play Oregon Trail back in the day. But here we are. But regardless of all of that, we're back online. We're not going to rehash the A&M season. We're not going to go. That's been weeks and weeks. Just a crappy spiral of poo.
We do have a question about that that I would like to address later, though.
No, we'll get to it. We're just not going to officially rehash the last game. We're not going to, it's not happening. All right. It's not even beaten to death at this point.
No.
It's over. And so we did miss one round of the playoffs, which I thought were fascinating. I'm also in the world right now where because we've had to move on, right? It's transfer portal season. And if I were to say one thing positive right now about Aggie football, coming off of two straight losses and not a whole lot of points, right? My positive thing would be is that I believe in Mike Elko to address needs within the portal. And at no point when we signed Nate Berkecher was anybody like throwing a parade. But look at what he contributed through the season. So I believe in Mike Elko to continue to add through the portal to identify specific needs. So where were we at, like 7 commitments at this point?
Something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, it's 7 or 8. I'm not going to pull up the thread. If you want to know how many, go join TechX. Bronny keeps it up to date. So an interesting playoff season. Not the first round. Outside of us thinking that we were going to beat Miami, everything else was the same, right? And we knew two of the games were non-competitors. The Bama OU game turned out being really good. Ours sucked for personal reasons. But then you went into the next round and all of a sudden things got a little different. Things got a little weird. With Tech getting the first round bye and then Oregon just kind of embarrasses them. It misses it. Obviously the Ole Miss Georgia game was something I'm not sure anybody saw it coming. That's one of those games where it's fun to watch because you don't have any skin in the game. I don't I don't believe in the whole like SEC crap. I don't care. Like I don't like if it helps, that's great, but I don't care. And regardless of if you care or not, an SEC team was going to get out of that game, right? So having it being an entertaining game was fantastic. Miami, and this is a childish take, and I will own having a childish take. I would like to see Miami win it all because they beat us. That's how I look at it. I want to see Miami beat us or win the national championship because they beat us. I don't really care about like the whole, we're the U and all this other stuff. Like, go and exist in Florida, and I don't care, and that's fine. But I would rather see Miami win because they beat us. The Indiana Mendoza, like, how can you root against Mendoza? Oh my gosh, this kid is fan. Like, it's not the on the field stuff, which has obviously earned him a Heisman, but man, off the field, his interviews. Hey, I mean, every once in a while he seems so dorky. I want to be like, bro, I get it. I'm gonna need you to tone it down a little bit because you're not a motivational speaker just yet. But it's easy to root for Indiana, but my thought is Indiana is no longer a Cinderella story. They were last year. They're not this year. They have the Heisman winning quarterback. They're beating teams in the playoffs, and they're back where they were. And Kurt Cignetti, for as big of a dick as I think he actually might be, what a model to follow.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at how this last round of games kind of played out, it went pretty close to how we thought it, at least I thought it would. Going back to what we knew from our previous test point last year, that first round bye has not helped hardly anybody, with the exception of Indiana. It just didn't actively hurt them. And I think a lot of that just goes back to Indiana. I just think being far and away the best team in the playoff at this point, I don't think that's much of a question based on what we've seen. As far as the results that took place, obviously Ohio State getting pantsed by Miami. I mean, that's a bit of vindication if you're an A&M fan. On the same token, it's extra irritating because you look at it and you think to yourself, man, if Miami could have manhandled them, if we got out of our game, how does that look? Right.
Right.
But
Well,
that's just one of those things.
yeah, that's depressing. It's like one of those where if we beat Texas, I mean, we would have beat that crap Alabama performance. But this is all shoulda, woulda, couldas, and if I'das.
Of course.
My thing is, I don't know that Indiana all of a sudden is the going away favorite because Indiana plays a very—they do play physical. I'll give them that, but not—they're not a line it up between the tackles and just blow 350 yards of rushing offense down your face. They've got Mendoza can throw. They're very. I think Indiana's a little bit more of a finesse team offensively. I think Miami on both sides of the ball is just angry. It reminds me back in the day where they say like Terrell Owens when he caught the ball he ran angry, and defenders had to deal with that. And so I'm going to be really interested. The Indiana Oregon matchup. Honestly, I'm with you. I think Indiana is going to beat Oregon, and I think they'll beat them by 10. And Indiana has the ability to beat them by 30. I mean, the Mendoza's that good. Their offense is that balanced. Indiana's only a 3.5 point favorite, but they're not going to put huge lines once you get into the semifinals, right?
No, you're not seeing. I mean, both lines are sitting at 3.5 right now, right? And one is
That's a combo.
Miami favored 3.5, which at this point would say potentially fair.
Yeah.
Indiana being favored, sure, absolutely. But I mean, if we're talking stories and storylines at this point in time, on one hand, yes, absolutely, don't have an issue with Miami winning at all, because that's, further like, hey, team that
Not
beat us.
vindication, but at least makes it sting a little less.
It stings a little less if they win the whole thing because, hey, you played the eventual national champion. It's one of those things. On the other front, if I had to pick a team just from a personal feel that I want to see win this whole thing, it's the team that uses this color too. It's Ole Miss. We're talking Ole Miss for me just continues to defy logic. You know, and at this point for me, if they go on to win the national title without Lane Kiffin,
yeah,
while he continues to try to poach a lot of these players away,
yeah,
that's just an extra for him.
That's an interesting take, too, because I think I don't think that Ole Miss as a program is going to explode because they won a national championship. They feel like a one-off type of program, right?
Sure.
And so I don't think there's any fear just because, I mean, they already re-signed Kylan Lacey, who is a freak running back.
Yeah.
Chambliss, if he gets the extra eligibility, he said he's coming back if they'll give him the 6 year. And at this point, NCAA, I mean, they may as well. They've given other people 6 years. So, Ole Miss is a fun story in the sense that if it's not Miami and Ole Miss wins it all, but that's the one thing. Whoever comes out of the Miami-Mississippi game is who Aggies are rooting for.
Yeah, I think so. On the other side of the bracket, I mean, I look at like Oregon and Indiana. I don't have an issue with Indiana winning the whole thing. I mean, you're talking about a program. It's been talked about time and time again. This was a doormat program in college football as a whole.
Basketball school.
Yeah, they're in the same vein as Kentucky in that thought process. They were not a big-time football program. Within a couple of years, Kirk Cignetti has turned this into quite a program. It's impressive to watch. But as awesome as it is to watch, it is also highly annoying to any other coaching staff because that expectation has been set. Hey, if they can do it, why can't you do it?
Well, I'm not even sure it's like a coaching mindset so much as a fan base mindset.
Well,
right?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Well, fan base and administration is where I was going.
I will say that I do believe that administrations are obviously going to be more level-headed. One, they're spending the money, and two,
typically,
they can outside the moment. But you look at the Cignetti model or the Indiana model or the Hoosier model, whatever you want to call it. And there are parallels to draw between what he's done and what we did, right?
Sure.
And that's where my optimism comes from. We've had a lot of portal pickups. You look down the road 90 miles, and they are struggle bussing, right?
I mean, already whipping on wide receivers and running backs.
They're a direct competitor, right? It's not just that we're in state. We're in the same conference now. You look at Tech, you look at LSU, and you look at kind of our rivals just around the conference and the ones that we need to get past. And it's interesting to see how the transfer portal is moving and how active we have been, because I'm a firm believer that outside of a handful of like prospects, you got to get in early. Get there, put in your bid or whatever, offer, whatever you want to call it, and lock them down. And so that's where it's interesting, because now we're playing musical chairs. That's what the transfer portal is. Right. I need two wide receivers, and I have these five targeted. Four have now gone somewhere else. Oh, crap. I have to invite more to the dance so I can make sure these chairs are full. And that's and I'm not just specifically talking about Texas. This is programs across the country. Oh, look, right. just got another commit. San Diego State edge Ryan Henderson is transferring to Texas A&M. Mike Elko is on an absolute tear, right? He's on an absolute tear. And when you look at Craver and Concepcion, and you look at Cassius Howell, and you look at all the pieces he added that were from the portal, you can't sit here and say you don't trust Mike Elko. Look, the last game of the season sucked. The playoffs sucked. I freaking get it, man. Like, we try not to use a lot of F-bombs, so just trust me. I freaking get it, all right? However, he is continuing to build this program. And again, it's one of those, you hate this phrase, he gets A&M, but he does. And it's a little bit of that is important. But what he gets about A&M, A&M gets about him. His grit, his determination, and drive fit to Texas A&M, like Texas A&M fits to his grit, determination, and drive. Not to mention the fact he's smarter than dog shit, right? So, and he's got a staff of evaluators. I will always give the benefit of the doubt to him until we win seven games, right?
Yeah.
If, You know what? We'll call it 8-4, right? Texas 8-4. Fine. Until he drops down to 8 wins in a season, barring like ridiculous injuries, I will continue to give him the benefit of the doubt because what we saw out of the roster this year and impact players, they came from the portal, man.
Well, the vast majority absolutely did. I mean, what did we struggle with the year before? We weren't we passed
Everything?
we well, in particular the wide receiver department, right?
Yeah.
So
Just
what do you do?
no playmakers.
Right. Craver comes in, KC comes into the portal. What happens? Two immediate impact players that establish themselves on this team. And I know a lot of names are getting thrown around about various different players that may come in. Obviously, the big one being Cam Coleman. But if whatever, at this point, you get the guys that you need and then move forward. I mean, right now.
Well, no, I'll say this. It's not the guys you need. It's the positions that you need. It's the guys that you want because you evaluated them properly.
Fair enough.
Who before, a minute before, an hour before, a year before, we're sitting there going, man, dude, if we could only get Nate Borkature.
Sure.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
No.
Nobody.
No.
And you know what he did? He went out and got a dude who ended up performing well. He was important to the team. He obviously had that. I won't say program changing, but narrative changing catch at Notre Dame.
Oh, no question.
And that's where I'm at right now because, as Aggie football, you can watch the games, but the reality is these games being played have nothing to do with Texas A&M. And now we have to focus on the portal and look at what's happening. Everything I've seen so far has made me happy, but like all of the commits. And given this past year's impact of the portal guys he brought in, you're lying to yourself if you're saying you don't trust the portal guys he's bringing in this year. You're lying
Yeah,
to yourself.
no, absolutely. I trust the portal guys. Absolutely. I'm
Don't
excited.
trust Elko.
Well, yeah, you trust Elgo with the portal. You trust all this to happen. The thing that I'm going to hold reservations on, and a lot of Aggies will going into next year, QB1, can he continue to grow? Because somebody brought up a really interesting point to me, and my buddy Matt Trujillo, who's a regular listener, he and I had a discussion about this the other day in regards to Marcel. He said, between what we've saw when he first took the field, in particular in that game against LSU, and now, has he actually improved?
All right, so here's the big thing, and I say this all the time, right? It's a Mike Leach coach or Mike Leach quote, and it bears true today. You can't teach accuracy, period. You can't.
Sure.
I can give you arm strength, I can teach you how to read, but I can't teach accuracy. But there's a catch in there where reading defenses increases accuracy.
Sure.
And that's one of my biggest things. And we saw it against Miami. And it's not he's not throwing the ball where he wants to. He's not throwing it on time. And which means he's not making the decision on time. And that can be improved and that can be taught.
That's
And
what we're looking for.
that's my approach to it. His arm strength is never a question, right?
Well,
It's just
he can get the ball down the field. We've seen it.
the two things I want to see between what I saw against Miami until we play next year is footwork and decision making.
Well, and decision making
Begets it.
I would say under pressure. Because I understand the moment you get pressed as a quarterback, that it goes back to the famous quotes, right? No plan survives contact with the enemy. You go into a play, and all of a sudden, coverages are breaking down, whatever you got to do. Those are tough plays.
Oh, well, yeah, the pressure's increased and the windows get tighter, right? And
Absolutely.
that, especially if you're on the move, the ability to make a throw on target is difficult. You know,
Sure.
that's why, Patrick Mahomes is so impressive because
He
he
can
can
do
throw
it.
37 different arm slots. He can do it on the run. He can do it on the move. He can do it moving backwards. But we've also seen Marcel be able to do it on the move and do it moving backwards. It's can you do it against the good defenses? Like, can you do it in conference, right? Because we're about to go back into a conference slate where we have 9 conference games and only one bye this year. So if there's a lot going on, To me, it all comes down to his ability to read defenses. That's really what it is, because your decision making will be faster. Look, it's like when you read, man. Literally, reading a defense and reading a book are, to an extent, no different. When
Right.
you're reading a defense, you understand what's coming and where you need to go. When you're reading a book and you start picking up on it, you know where the plot's going. You know where the storyline's going. The
Right.
slower you read, the slower you figure that out. The slower you read a defense, the slower you are to be able to make those decisions. And then that accuracy comes into question. But the reality, it's not your accuracy. Like, you probably threw it where you wanted to. You just made a bad decision because of the timing, because it took
Sure.
you too long to read the defense. So
What?
that's those are two things that can be fixed. I think if I put out a whole bunch, remember the old I don't know if you remember this, like the old QB challenge during Pro Bowl week in the
Right.
NFL, and they have all these targets and some of them are stable and some of them are
Sure.
moving. I firmly believe Marcel can make 90% of those throws. I do.
Absolutely. I think he's a
Right.
great quarterback on that front. I think the
You're
thing.
set, deliver the ball. He knows where it's going. It's just when things get hurried up by the defense is where I think he lacks, and that's why his accuracy lacks, is because his decisions are being made too late.
And if I'm being completely intellectually honest, if there's one aspect of the field going into next season I'm going to desperately need to see an update on, it's going to be red zone offense. Because how often did we get picked off in the end zone? How often did we make a, well, I'm not putting this necessarily on Marcel, but you're sitting that third down against South Carolina where the ball ends up going being a backwards pass that gets picked up.
Conversion rate was terrible.
That's got to improve.
I'll chalk up a handful of things though, not just red zone, but the play calling was pitiful.
At times, yeah.
Yeah, like a handful of ones you're referring to, that was absolutely a play calling. What are you freaking doing? And
Fair.
so it's easy to play armchair quarterback, but the reality is you have to play armchair quarterback at the end of the season and analyze things. And I think Colin Klein did a lot of great things, and I'm fine with him being gone. I don't have a problem with the hire. Because again, I
Wish
trust
him
Mike Elko
all the
because
best.
I trust Mike Elko. He's smarter than shit. All right.
Yeah.
Like, that dude could do laps around me in the SAT, right?
Smart.
And not that that equates to being a college football coach, but being smart helps. And then you throw in the fact that he's football smart. So again, these are the hires that have been made from like the internal hires that have been made. Well, not everybody. So many people pissing and moaning. And you know what you're not doing right now? Coaching football. So, and I don't care if you coached in high school. I don't care if you currently coach in high school. You don't coach at a Division I SEC level, and you don't know exactly how those interviews went, no matter how they went. So my thought is, shut up.
Trust Elko.
If you don't trust Elko, just say it, and that's fine. But don't come in with your opinions when you're not coaching at that level or higher. If you're coaching at that level or higher, I would love to hear your opinions. I would love to hear your opinions on it. But the problem is 99.999999% of you morons are morons. You get ball. You coach ball. You play ball. I get it. You don't run the Texas A&M football program. You're not Mike Elko. And so all of your opinions can be just that, and they're fine, whether they're positive or negative. But I got to be honest, all these people just completely undercutting these hires. Bro, you're spending like $12 a month to be an idiot online. Like, just take the free board, go away. But sorry,
Fascinating stuff.
there's my rant apparently for the day. So
Hey.
we got a Rob Roy rant.
Yeah, Rob and Roy both getting rants in here to start this year. Oh,
And
yeah.
I would like to say for the fact, it's taking a lot for me today to keep my energy up, considering West Ham is literally going to get relegated. I just watched the match against freaking Forest. They're going down. I'm so glad that I'll be able to have a Paramount subscription so I can watch them in the damn Championship League. You American fans don't know anything about relegation.
No, they do not understand relegation
Well, neither
whatsoever.
do you, Liverpool fan.
Hey, we got relegated once, like back in the 50s.
Yeah. This will be the second time since I've
Here's
been a West Ham fan we've been relegated.
the thing. So Liverpool, quick aside, sorry folks, but as far as Liverpool is concerned, as piss poor as their year has been up to this point, like with certain results and stuff, they're still in the top four. Like, I have been less than appreciative of how they've played this year, and they're still a top four club at the moment. Somehow. I don't get it.
We got to get out Premier League. Everybody's going to quit listening.
Yes. Anyhow, we got to get away from all that.
Arsenal are 6 points clear, and I hope they go down.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get into all that at some point. As far
you
as
I'll get into that, if we want to have any listeners, we'll stop doing it on this.
Sure. Fair enough. That was certainly a.
So, but I will say though, because I'm a shameless plug kind of dude, because I you know, like all the guys over there, if you are looking for like literally the most up to date transfer stuff, get a premium subscription over TexAgs. Ryan Broniger has a thread that's gone. Sure. It went like 770,000 views in the first 24 hours.
That's fine. All right, so I want to plug a handful of things real quick. A handful of other non-A&M football things before we get into picks and all that other fun jazz. Number one, most importantly, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it, Jamie Morrison, national champions, fighting Texas Aggie volleyball. Congratulations.
Oh, absolute blast. That was, I tell you what, you want to talk about, one, it was fun to watch. Two, when you look back, or even if you're in the middle of it and you follow enough volleyball, you realize that that wasn't just like a run.
No.
That was an epic, historic run, who they went through and who they beat.
Consider, I know it's been talked about ad nauseum, so we'll keep it pretty brief here. But over the course of the season, the whole season, A&M played every single number one seed and beat them at least once.
Well, it's completely insane. And they beat the player of the year. And you look at, like, Nebraska was their first home loss in 3 years. They lost seven sets the entire year.
First set lost at home since September.
And I keep listening to his interviews. And here's my – okay, so I'm going to bring Cignetti into volleyball real quick. Jamie Morrison is a very confident human being. And I think you have to be to coach at a Division I level in any sport. I get that. But he's confident but not cocky. Cignetti is just kind of cocky and comes off like a dick, but he's also obviously very confident. And I think that's where the likability factor comes in. Jamie Morrison is so easy to like. Because it's not just he's not just A&M's gonna win a lot of national championships. He cares about the development and the growth of the sport. He cares about it's just this new professional volleyball league that's coming on. I think it's on USA. Bro, yeah. I'm all in. You don't want to know why? We got Aggies all over it.
Well, about to say, what you have seen now with Jamie Morrison and what Texas A&M has done in the volleyball world. Volleyball is one of those sports historically that you have seen a lot of teams that have just dominated at the top historically, right?
It is so top heavy. Nebraska and Texas will tell you that.
Nebraska, Texas, Penn State, early on, USC and UCLA were in there. Obviously, very early was Hawaii, right? Like, you had these programs that have dominated volleyball over the course of the history. I mean, you don't – we've had one outside of Texas winning their titles pre-SEC, right?
The gap was insane.
The only one SEC team had ever won a volleyball championship, and it was Kentucky.
Yep.
So A&M comes in a year where you're going to have to go through Nebraska, who at this point is by far and away the best team in the country. Nobody was denying that coming in. And you walk out of that building into the championship Final Four, and you have all of these T-shirt fans now at this point from Nebraska pulling for us. You've got some other
programs. It's a respect thing.
It was a respect thing. Yeah, because you saw that A&M earned the respect along the way.
Absolutely.
It was absolutely incredible to see. We're back.
Well, and I think that's one of the interesting points you see, like we saw in volleyball. And like this volleyball tournament, the amount of eyes on it were amazing. The growth of the sport's amazing. That's one thing Jamie Morrison loves. But like you said, with Nebraska fans, rooting for A&M, there's no, and I don't want to like parcel this into like men and women's sports, but well, you know what? Maybe they're the exact same. We beat Nebraska, and Nebraska is like, dude, tip of the cap, man. You came into our gym and beat us.
Right.
And so we want to root for you going forward because we watched a team that we were so impressed with. I think maybe from a football perspective, because football and volleyball at the same time, right?
Sure.
Where I'm rooting for Miami out of spite. Just,
Which I get that.
it's not a moral victory for me. There are no moral victories.
No.
But I'll root for Miami just because it'll make me feel a little bit better inside. But I think Nebraska was truly impressed with the ability. And Nebraska, for those of you guys who don't know, man, I know if you're my age, you remember watching the black shirts and Nebraska football and Tommy Frazier and blah 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 blah. Nebraska is a volleyball school, all right?
They
That's
are.
what Nebraska is right now. They're a volleyball school, and to have them like rooting for A&M, it's a pure show of respect. That's really what it comes down to.
And
They
it
weren't
goes.
rooting for us because they hated Pitt. They weren't rooting for us because they hated Kentucky. They were rooting for us because we were like, dude, you came into our gym where we don't lose and you beat us. So we want to follow you and hope you do well. So it was fun to watch.
I want to highlight that relationship real quick. So talking about A&M and Nebraska, you're talking about two fan bases that are generally regarded as two of the better fan bases in terms of like visiting fans. You know, I mean, throughout the playoffs, throughout the playoff game, I kept seeing comments online from Miami fans being like, I was fully expecting to go into this thing getting yelled at, spit on, and that was not the case. A&M fans invited us into their tents. They took care of us. And historically, that's exactly the same type of relationship you see with Nebraska. The
Yep.
Nebraska fans have largely been very, very good fans. And
Well,
when
you
you
know, like in Nebraska, they have nothing.
Right. I mean, Nebraska has Nebraska athletics. That's all they got. In fact, to this day, my favorite thing is that when Memorial Stadium fills up, it's the third largest city in the state.
Yeah.
There's nothing else in Nebraska except for Nebraska athletics.
Yeah, which they did for a volleyball match a year, like it was a year ago.
Yeah, last year.
Not this past season, the season
Yeah,
before.
2024.
Yeah. They filled up Memorial Stadium for a volleyball match.
And the scary thing is, if Trev Alberts gets the balls to try it again and break that record,
Well, I mean, coming off a national championship season, you have to. I
give it a
think
shot.
you have to do it this next year. I absolutely think you have to do it.
Now,
I think we
question.
need the well, we need the DJ. Yeah, go ahead.
Which game do you do? It won't be Texas because Texas will be on the road next year. But which game should you do it for? Any game?
I think you do it for a match that you know you're going to win, or at least like you're well, not no. I mean, obviously, but I think you do it for a match that I mean, you're gonna have to work it around football, so that's gonna have a lot to do with it as well.
Sure.
But I think you do it for a match where you're probably favored to win, have a ton of fun, keep everybody in it. So that, I mean, unless I and look, I don't even know it's been released, the volleyball schedule for next season.
I
Maybe it
can
has.
check real quick. Let me go
Maybe
look.
it has. I mean, football's been released, so maybe volleyball's been released.
Well, see.
But it's. You either do it for a massive conference game, like Kentucky would be a huge conference game. I remember us on this podcast months ago. We were talking about when volleyball played Kentucky and Kentucky was three and we were number six. And we talked about how wide of a gap it looked like. Kentucky was definitely three and we were absolutely six. But between three and four, like between one to three and four of the rest, looked like a massive gap. And
Sure.
then we go and then in the first time ever, all SEC volleyball final. We beat Kentucky, who had beaten us earlier, which again, I get it, like it's hard to beat a team twice, but volleyball is a little bit different in the sense like the ball is sometimes going to bounce the way it bounces. It's a little tougher.
But I mean, the resilience of this team is the thing that I think really resonated with me. You know, they found a couple of instances where they found themselves down. But the fact that you got to the championship games, the Final Four, you don't drop a set. You go down in a couple sets. You struggled against Pitt. You struggled early against Kentucky.
It's an all-time performance.
But yeah, incredible job. That was something really quick I wanted to highlight. Congratulations to volleyball.
We didn't do it quickly, but kick ass, Jamie Morrison. Kick
Kick
ass,
ass,
gig 'em.
Gig'em. So happy to have you here in town. Keep it up. So,
Literally beat the hell out of everybody.
literally beat the hell out of everybody. Proud of you. On another sporting front, personal for me. Well, like I said, there was a couple of really exciting football games over the past several days I want to touch on real fast. Number one, did you watch the FCS championship between Illinois State and Montana State? Because my God.
No, I saw the clips.
Sir, that was the best championship game I think I have seen.
Yeah, I just saw them, like the rollovers.
The competitive nature of the game, honestly, I'll send you the link to it. Wheels uploaded like the highlights, and you know, it includes not just scoring plays, it's like just good solid play. Like if you want a good condensed game, he's got it. It's excellent.
I was gonna say, you'd be hard pressed to find me 3.5 hours where I'm willing to sit down and watch an FCS championship.
No, this is like 20. It's like
I'm not
maybe,
saying the competition isn't good. I'm just saying, like,
Well, see, like this video, if I pull it up real quick, let me see how long it is. Yeah, it's 24 minutes. So if you have a half hour to kill,
you can manage that.
To watch this video, it's amazing. Incredibly good.
Hey, drop that in the comments below once you post this.
Yeah, I'll post that one.
You want to see it.
Fascinating.
I love good football. Like, look, I watched the Army-Navy game. It's really terrible football, but it's so competitive. And competitive football is what I care for.
Well, and this qualifies.
Alabama rolled out last weekend.
Yeah, no, this was absolutely top-notch football.
Well, you didn't understand that I really shot at Alabama.
Alabama scoring 3 points.
We scored 3 points, but
at least in a competitive football game, they scored. They're in garbage time.
If Marcel doesn't throw that pass, we still got a shot.
Yeah. One other game, this one goes personal for me. The very end of that Steelers-Ravens game.
Didn't watch it. Yeah.
Something to behold.
Another one of those, like, you know, saw the highlights. I'm not a big NFL guy. I will say one thing about the NFL. I am so glad that we were finally able to take the Cowboys season out to pasture and give them the old yeller.
Them and honestly, Kansas City. I think the thing I'm so thrilled about with the NFL playoffs this time around is it's a pretty fresh batch. Like there's going to be a lot of entertainment to be had in those first several rounds. I mean, for the love of God, the Packers are playing the Bears the first round in Chicago.
That should be illegal.
That's amazing.
With investing options from Navy Federal Credit Union.
No, Navy Federal Credit Union.
Look, I hate when the hats kick in.
I don't follow a ton of NFL, but I know where the seeds are. Like I know how the playoffs are going. I would just like to see a study relative to when they started dating and where the Chiefs are now.
Yeah.
But hey, also, I think you missed one. Actually, you missed two. Obviously, Myles Garrett.
Oh, yeah, Myles Garrett.
You missed Von Miller.
Yeah.
Von Miller went to, what, the top 10 or top 9 all time? And he wants to play again next year.
Yep.
The Commanders. That's according to Shereen Williams, who's a beat writer in the NFL and Aggie.
Another update.
Von stack up maybe 4 or 5 more, but Miles might blow the record out of the water if he can stay even 70% of his pace. Mm-hmm. So that's my thought.
Torin York's heading to the draft.
Yes.
That's official. And we have a running back transfer. We have a running back transfer, Bryson Washington, coming to visit tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. No, when it comes to the portal, until they sign, I'm good, man.
Fair enough.
All right. So let's get into some picks right quick.
Sure.
Because, again, this is old school, so we're going to run through these real quick. Oregon won against JMU. Yeah. Ole Miss won against Tulane. We both missed on the Aggies. We both got Bama right. And oddly enough, Memphis, NC State, which I don't even remember the name of the bowl. It was awful. We both picked NC State and got it right. So we both went 4-1. You are currently 46-37. I am 48-35. And there are 3 picks for this week.
Hey, we're in the positive at this point. We're playing with house money.
If you literally just bet us as winners, not lines, but if you just took straight wins, depending on how the money line was, you'd be making money. I'm not guaranteeing you money. I'm just throwing it out there.
And you're not going to make money every week, but you're going to make some money.
Well, it's the whole season, so you have to look at it.
As a whole?
And maybe we'll, you know what? Maybe next year we'll bet lines.
We might. We'll see.
Yeah. Make it a little more interesting to show how you should not trust us whatsoever.
Ever. Ever.
All right. So I'm going to start. So both playoff games are 3.5 points, right?
They are.
So you have Indiana and Oregon. Number one, Indiana. Number five, Oregon. You have 3.5 points to Indiana. I have a hard time betting against Mendoza at this point. That's the catch. Like, I know Oregon and Dan Lanning and blah, blah, F and blah. I cannot fathom picking against Indiana right now. I think between these two teams, I don't care how hard it is to beat somebody a second time kind of crap.
Right.
I'm taking Indiana. I'm taking the Heisman winner.
I am so annoyed with these ads.
There's so many ads popping up. Hey, Indiana, Oregon.
Indiana, Oregon. I got to go Indiana. Really, at this point, they are cooking on all cylinders. They have looked as advertised. They have taken, took down this Oregon team at their place.
We're so good.
You know, like there's kicking so much butt, and I desperately need to figure out what is going on. Mute these. They are killing me. Sorry.
No, you're good. So the other game, obviously, you have number 10 Miami playing Ole Miss, number six. Miami's a 3.5 point favorite. That was an impressive performance from Ole Miss against Georgia, because I don't think a lot of people had Ole Miss beating Georgia if they didn't live in Mississippi.
Right.
So it's an interesting matchup. I think Lacey is a bad dude. Like, he is a bad, bad dude. But I think Miami plays – I hate to say it. I think Miami's – and I'm not going to contradict what I said, you know, a couple weeks ago. I'll just say I'm wrong. I think the U might be the U. They're a little nasty.
Yeah.
Which is surprising to a touch under Cristobal. But I'm going to take Miami to beat Ole Miss.
Well, and the thing is, I'm right there with you, because I think Ole Miss.
Well, Lacey and Chambliss, though, like that was that 1-2 punch is my problem.
They are excellent. They keep losing pieces. I mean, running back coach just got poached away again. You know, he's heading straight to LSU now. It just feels like there's a lot of.
Such a weird situation.
It is. Me personally, I mean, I would love to see Ole Miss win this game. Personally, because as I mentioned, right, you know, Miami is one
of those. You want Ole Miss to win because Lane left.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm changing my pick. Go Ole Miss. I'm changing my pick. I'm going to go ahead and go Ole Miss because I need that championship to happen.
Because you dislike Lane Kiffin. That's fair. You can know say what? It.
Because Lane Kiffin needs to get kicked a little bit. He needs to come back down to reality and realize what he missed out on.
That would be quite a statement.
It would be.
All right.
Get on Pete Golding.
So in order to make sure that we don't like have an even number of picks, right? And this one may not play out between now and next week. So this will just kind of be on the hook. Cam Coleman, Ags or the field? This is a golf pick. Tiger or the field, right?
Right.
Bryson DeChambeau or the field? Ags.
The question I have is, I look at like Texas Tech and I look at Texas in particular. Alabama's in the mix. USC already pulled their name out of the hat. I think the thing that's going to be interesting is Texas has shown that they are not getting certain guys.
Well, I feel like of the guys.
Sure. Well, they're not getting their guys, but are they just loading up to try to get Cam Coleman? Can he end up in Lubbock? Sure. I wouldn't be shocked.
Dude, if Texas is loading up to get Cam Coleman and they've lost on all of their running back. Oh, just got an alert. Baylor transfer running back Bryson Washington plans to visit Texas A&M, Wisconsin, and Auburn.
Yeah, that was the guy I was telling you about.
Weird, I didn't see Texas on that list.
Yeah.
And they let their entire running back group, like room, go, and most of their wide receiver group. That's going to be interesting. Texas is really weird right now because they basically said they were all in, and right now they're all out, man. They're missing on everything. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out of Texas. But Cam Coleman, Ags or the field?
Let's say Ags.
Ags. All right.
Why not? If he ends up here, he ends up here. Cool. But
all right.
Who are you going with?
Oh, I got the Ags.
Okay. I'm just pretty
sure. You met me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any questions this week?
We did.
No.
Let me, we had one question. Let me go
grab it. If it's West Ham related, don't.
All right. So it's a twofer. So that makes life easy. Number one, what are your feelings? This is from Kyle Lovingood.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. He's our A&M tech combo buddy. Right up there with Garrett Smith. There's a lot of those, it turns out. One, what are your feelings on the end of the Texas A&M football season? Is this a repeating trend? Are we setting up to experience this again in 2026? If I had to grade this year, I would give it a solid A-. You make the playoff, passing grade. You did what you had to do. You didn't accomplish the end goal of winning the title. You struggled in that Texas game, whatever. You know, I know some people are going to weigh that more than others. Personally, it's just go out there and win your games as you can. I like the direction we're moving. I think we're making the right portal picks. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders about how to keep this program moving forward. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays with the football schedule next year going to 9. See how we continue to stay healthy, because that was the thing I was worried about last year. And we got through a tough stretch of road games. And then on the backside is when we finally started kind of seeing it slip.
I would give this season a B+.
Okay.
Because we trended downwards at the end of the year, and it was consecutive. Like, it wasn't just, oh, that game was a concern. Like, it was trend downwards. I'll give it a B+.
Yeah. South Carolina, Texas.
Well, and because of Texas, we didn't make Atlanta. Had we made Atlanta and lost, I'd probably give it an A-, honestly.
Fair enough.
But we didn't even get to Atlanta. So I'm going to give it a B+. What was the other part of it?
Is this a repeating trend? Are we going to see?
No, it's not. I will straight up tell you right now, and again, I'm a sunshine pumper, and everybody knows that. I think we are on the Cignetti Hoosier Indiana model. Make it the first year. You're like kind of a Cinderella-ish, and everybody complains that you lost and you suck and you didn't deserve to be there. But you're building a program, and very specifically, again, we talk about this transfer portal. Craver, Concepcion, Cassius Hell, those three alone changed your program. So I believe in the talent evaluation of this staff. So I think next year will be a step up or a maintain. It will most decidedly not be a step down or step back.
I would hope not.
And we don't know how things are going to look now that we have a 9-game conference schedule, which is stupid. But you know, here we are. My thought is, this is not a downward trend, or this is not a continuing trend where every year we suck at the end of the year. I think there's a lot to be learned. And you saw it from Elko year one to Elko year two. He learns, he gets it, he adapts. You can't learn it all every year. So, and again, every player is different. Yeah, I think the program is the same. The culture is the same. I expect us to be on a either hold pattern or upward trajectory over the next 10 years. I honestly think we're going to win national title in the next 10 years.
I would like to think so. I'm with you on that. I like to see we're moving in a positive direction on that front. Absolutely. I mean, you see it over two seasons. You hope to see it just continue going.
Well, it's sustainability, right? Right. Even the corporate world believes in sustainability. But for me, it's like we kind of puttered off the year before last. And then this past year, like, we kind of puttered off, but we puttered off and made the playoffs. So it's one of those where I don't want to see this. Like, we keep getting further and sucking. But I think if you just keep getting further, that's truly what matters relative to the program. I've said it before. I said it earlier, like within the last hour. I believe in Coach Elko's ability to evaluate talent, evaluate needs within the program on both sides of the ball, and go find those guys. If you ever said, and I'll tell you what, post receipts if you did. If you said 2 weeks after the end of our season, the Nate Borkature would be important, like, by all means, post receipts. Like, you honestly, Elko should probably hire you. Well, so that's my thought on it. I still trust in Coach Elko. We made the playoffs for the first time. We held our first home playoff game, even though we kind of laid an egg. Well, I'm not going to pick on anybody, but we laid an egg, but we hosted a playoff game. Things are trending up. It's just, that's kind of where we're at. That's my thought, at least.
Yeah, I like to think we are trending up as well, and that Elko is going to do what he needs to do out of the portal to get what we need.
Yeah, and it's not vertical, man. This is steady growth.
Right. And, right? And sustainability.
We'll hit a spike. Sustainability provides spikes in production. Yeah. And so that's kind of where I'm at. Just that's my thought on it.
So you've invested money in this guy. You've given him a multi-year contract to stick around here. So you believe that he has the ability to do what he has been doing.
You gave him money to give to assistants.
Yeah. I think my big thing I want to see is the word that they were using all this past year. Finish. I need to see you finish in November. I need you to finish in December. So you've proven that you can get through the season. Now, can you grow on that?
And I think they can. I'm a firm believer that I think they can.
And that's where my brain's at on that.
It's Marcel's first year as a starter for the entire season. Yeah. Everybody needs to tap the brakes just a touch. It's okay to like slam on the brakes a little bit. I get it. Like, I saw the same football you saw to Marcel, and everybody's going to complain and blah, 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 blah.
But like, based on my preseason predictions,
this kid can get so much better.
Yeah, I mean, based on at least my personal preseason predictions, we exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
You know, like, I expected us to do what we've been doing.
What did I call it? I call it 10-2 or 11-1. I think I called it 10.
I think you called 10-2.
Called 10-2, so
11-2.
I called 10-2, 7-1.
Yeah, which is because you had us losing another game, which we won. So it's just one of those things. We found
it exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, exceeded my expectations.
Such a sunshine pumper. Like, you got to get on board.
Yes, get on board. Power this program forward. You have proven to the nation that you know how to win football games. Now you got to go do it again. Do it with what will be a tougher schedule. But believe in it. I believe in it.
That'll prove something.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough year next year, just looking ahead at the schedule, which we will obviously get into when we get closer. In the meantime, far more importantly, because slowly we're going to start transitioning away from this fun football talk into basketball talk, which leans into our second question, which was, I'm enjoying Buckyball at A&M.
Me too.
I said, are they ahead, right at, or behind where you thought they would be at this point of the season?
I think they're behind the point where we probably hope they would be, but it's because they lost literally an NBA lottery pick. So my thought is, had you taken that out of the equation, I think we are maybe on track.
That's where my brain's at. Yeah.
We play Auburn tonight, and we're going to find out. We play Auburn on the road. We're going to find out how good Buckyball is.
Yes.
So I think losing the lottery pick sets everything back. So maybe we're still on track. But it sets the program back a little bit when you have a talent like that. I mean, injuries happen. It totally sucks, balls, but I would say that I'm not concerned about anything I see with Buckyball right now, knowing who he has. We're an incredibly small, in fact, I mean, where my Aggie basketball polo.
You are.
The Buckyball right now, because of injuries, is going to be very small. It's going to be small ball. But what I saw them do, what was that, Sunday night? Saturday night?
Saturday night against LSU.
Saturday night, yeah, against LSU. There's a lot of reason for optimism. There's a lot of reason for caution. I think both are fair. This is kind of one of those playing styles that you're either going to be really good or you're going to get really burned. But if nothing else, it is exciting as shit to watch. Buckyball is fun. I believe he's going to build something here. I think this season, if I saw Luke Evangelist put it, so we're just outside the bubble right now. So if we were to get a Q1 win, and one of our losses apparently has won enough to, it's like a Q1 loss now, and all this stuff, you know, in basketball matters. And so if for whatever weird reason, we're able to win on the road at Auburn, I think all of a sudden, I'm not saying this season does not hinge on this game tonight.
No, but it might be a good indicator.
Yeah, it'd be a decent indicator. Like, just don't get blown out, maybe. Like, right? Like, we talked about that last year about it. Because I just, man, just if you can be within, you know, 3, 5, you know, 7 points on the end of it on the road, I think there's my only issue, or well, not issue, a concern with Buckyball is turnovers. Sure. They're fun because they create a lot, but we talk about this in football, the turnover margin, right? You want to be on the plus side of things. If you turn somebody over 12 times and you turn over 18, like, that doesn't help you, man. So it's one of those things where we need a little bit better ball control, but don't change a thing you're doing on defense, on press. It's so fun to watch. It's so fun.
It's a blast. And I'm enjoying seeing what I'm out of them. I'm enjoying the fact that a lot of these players, they've embraced A&M. They're happy to be here. They're happy to be part of what they're growing here.
And Bucky's a hoot. And he is one of the biggest straight shooters I've ever heard in my life.
I will say, just as a quick aside, oh, Buzz Williams.
I was about to say, I can't remember the last time Bucky told me, you know, what book to read.
Yeah.
I don't need a reading list. I need a free throw shooting practice list.
Something. So, yeah, wraps up our questions. So, yeah, excited with basketball. We're going to get into a lot more basketball talk as we get towards this next month or two, as we're getting heading into softball and baseball and all that, which we'll see how all that goes.
Yeah. Well, it's just, and some exciting games. I mean, you never know with Indiana, Oregon should be a good one. Miami, so these are really great games, honestly. And the best part is you shouldn't have a rooting stake in them unless you are a fan of one of those teams. So it should be some good football games. Transfer portal is the absolute Wild West.
It is.
For everybody out there, so yesterday, basically everybody went back to work. So we're all depressed and we're all poopy pants. But the reality is, it's time to get back to work, time to get back into sports. Like, it's time to lose those pounds that you gained over the holidays, or just accept that you gained those pounds and don't give a shit, which somehow, I'm fine with, quite frankly. Like, bro,
somehow I lost weight over the break. I don't know how that happened.
It's because you weren't around the meals I cooked.
I was around some meals, let me tell you, man. I don't know what happened.
But it's one of those things. I'm so glad. I hope everybody had a happy new year. Obviously, a Merry Christmas. So thankful for y'all into the new year following this podcast. If you do, please feel free to share it, like it. Please leave a comment because it helps with the algorithm. And, you know, Rob will tell you, the algorithm and the technical stuff is super important. I know nothing about it other than the fact that his computer didn't work.
Yeah, we just want you guys to be engaged with what we do. Leave comments, subscribe, hit the bell so you know it's actually going to be notified that when we upload, you know what's happening.
Ask questions.
Ask questions for the love of all that is holy. I appreciate when we get them, always.
Yeah, and you can ask them if you're watching this right now and we're not going to record for another 4 days.
Put it in.
Yeah, we'll check the comments. Absolutely.
We always ask day over, like the day before, but for the love of all that is holy, if you just got a question for us, fire it in.
Yep. We're here and we're going to give our really stupid, uneducated opinions on all questions. I promise.
I'm always getting notifications, man. So just, I leave those on. But be sure to follow us on the socials. Be sure to follow Roy May 15 and Roy May Jr. That's on X and Instagram, respectively. Be sure to follow Rob the Slapper on both. Be sure to follow the Red Ass Podcast. And, of course, interact. Give us some love. Give us some comments. If you don't like what we're doing, by all means, tell it. I mean, just give me something.
No, share it. Share it with somebody you don't like. If you don't like it, then maybe you'll piss them off. It works out well.
It works out for everybody involved. But it's 2026. We're in. Life's good and great. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the hell out of Auburn. Beat the hell out of the rest of, I don't know, something else. Maybe.
Beat the hell out of the rest of your break students.
Yes. And on top of that, quick plug. Carson Jeffrey and the CJP will be playing in town on Friday night at the Tap in College Station, Texas. And there will be new songs. There will be some old songs that you haven't heard in a while. We are going to completely shake this thing up. If you haven't seen a Carson Jeffrey show in a while, it might be an interesting one to go check out. And we would love for you guys to be there because you might get something you've never heard.
And if Rob isn't crazy, he'll put the link down below to hit to Carson Jeffrey's social medias as well.
I can do that. So feel free to give us a follow on there too. That would just make my whole life.
Well, and you'll know, and you'll be able to get a link to where they're going to tour and where they're going to have shows. So
exactly. So if you're not local, you can catch us wherever you're at next time we're out and about. But I'm Rob White, Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the hell out of Auburn. We'll see you guys next time. Gig 'em.
Gig 'em.